listening to Agriculture Today, coming to you from the campus of Kansas State University. Welcome once again, and good to have you along as we take up the cattle markets, typically what we do first thing on a Monday. We'll turn to a livestock economist out of Oklahoma State University, our good friend in Stillwater, Darrell Peel, with his thoughts on these trades, and we can talk of still more improvement, modestly so, in the Fed cattle trade this past week, Darrell.
We have seen these, cash-fed cattle prices kind of as we expected here after, it took a while to get a bottom in this thing here, and now we're beginning kind of a slow grind higher here, which is mostly a seasonal kind of a thing, but pretty much what we expected. It's not a fast process and probably has some limits on how far it can go, but it's pretty much as expected.
That really is the question, the staying power of this, as you call it, slow grind to the upside. You think that it does have its limit?
Well, I think so. I mean, again, the bigger long-term picture, of course, is that we're in a bigger supply scenario. Beef production is up on, whatever sort of seasonal or annual basis you want to look at. But, box beef prices are also slowly grinding higher. They're in kind of lockstep with the Fed cattle market here. So I do think we'll continue to see, again, some seasonal strength in these markets through the fourth quarter. And then, longer term, obviously, we've got those underlying supply challenges that will continue to be there and never very far away.
Lend some thoughts, if you would, to the feeder cattle auctions. Again, the volumes can be spotty at this time of the year, depending on the weight class and such, but the tone there still appears to be friendly. Is that your take of it?
Certainly, these markets have remained stronger than expected this fall. I've looked more closely, perhaps, at the Oklahoma auctions, but I think Kansas would be similar. Our calf prices, the lightweight end of the stocker end of things, prices have dropped slightly. If you look from August into mid-October, they've dropped about half of what would be normal for this time of the year, so they're staying fairly strong. If you look at the big end of the feeder cattle, they are actually running about 8% up from August levels. So we've seen very strong demand for these bigger feeder cattle, and when you raise the big end relative to the light end, you start to really change that stocker signal in there, offering more value of gain, and that's fairly typical this time of the year, but maybe even a little more pronounced this year.
And it really is something of a marvel to watch this market not show any real signs of weakness. Haven't seen that for quite some time. What are your thoughts on, again, how long this market can keep to the upside?
Well, it has been a surprise. Again, we know there's bigger feeder supplies out there. In fact, again, I've looked at the auction volume in Oklahoma. For the past 6 weeks, we've been running about 11% more feeder cattle in total through the auctions on the combined auctions compared to a year ago. So numbers are up, and yet these prices have stayed strong, on stocker cattle. And perhaps even more surprising is the fact that our wheat pasture, for all of its early promise in early September, really hasn't developed as fast. We've continued to have challenges with armyworms and other things that have delayed the development of that. But I think because there is pretty good forage conditions in general, there's been good stocker demand. I think a lot of stocker cattle are kind of stashed out on pasture now, waiting for that wheat pasture to get there. And as a result, we've continued to see these strong prices, even with bigger numbers this fall.
While we're talking calf prices here, your thoughts, we've seen in the recent years the evolution of premiums being paid for preconditioned calves that go through a rigid vaccination schedule, so forth. And what are you seeing there in regard to the bids paid for those preconditioned animals now? Are they as robust as they once were?
Well, we've documented for several years, particularly with our Oklahoma Quality Beef Network program, that premiums are pretty persistent. They do vary somewhat under different conditions. But I think, one of the things we expect here, again, as we get into bigger cattle numbers, is that everybody that's a buyer in this market, whether it's a feedlot buying bigger feeder cattle or a stocker producer buying lightweight calves, everybody can be a little more choosy and really differentiate quality a little bit better. And under those conditions, we expect to see more differentiation. And so stocker producers feeders, continue to report plenty of health challenges on these cattle. And again, when they have an opportunity to put the value on these preconditioned calves that reduces that health risk, we see those premiums pretty assured.
So it's still worthwhile, although it's not maybe the, put it this way, the windfall that it might have been in premiums here a few years back.
Well, I think it is, I think it's, again, a pretty consistent payoff for cow-calf producers to precondition these calves. There's a couple things. One, of course, is the exact program you go through, whether or not it's a certified, a third-party certified type program, which we do have data that shows that adds value to these things. One of the things is to think about how you're going to market those cattle, because just because you do things that adds potential value, you really have to make an effort to identify some sale venue that is that increases the odds that buyers who value that additional value are going to be there. So whether it's a special sale or something like that, it's important to do the marketing part as well as the production part of preconditioning these calves.
So shop around for your best marketing outlet, whatever that might be for you. Darrell, we also have seed stock producers out there readying for or soon to conduct their production sales for the fall, and for those cow-calf producers looking to invest in herd genetics. Have you any thoughts to pass along about making wise economic decisions given the current cattle market climate in place?
Well, I think there's a couple things to keep in mind. One, again, is that, of course, that we are in a herd expansion still. We know at some point we're going to continue to pressure these calf prices in a general sense. So you need to think about the timing of the next 2 or 3 years versus perhaps a longer-term perspective. Obviously, long-term cow-calf producers really need to think about the production value of those cows in terms of the kinds of genetics relative to their production environment and that sort of thing. I think one of the things I have heard sort of anecdotally for several months now is despite the fact that we're in a, broadly speaking, a declining price scenario here, is that bred cattle values have held up fairly well, I think, and there continues to be demand for good quality cattle.
So factor that into your decisions, whatever you might be thinking about as you go about shopping for genetics yet this fall. We haven't spoken to the demand side yet for the product itself. What are you hearing on the domestic beef demand front? Still going decently well?
I think it is. You know, we look at these retail prices, they've held up very well relative to the other meats, if you look at that part of it. You know, overall, retail prices are holding very close to year-ago levels. And again, this is in the face of a 4.5% increase in beef production, not quite that much increase in consumption because we're exporting a bit more of that increased production. But nevertheless, when you combine the domestic situation with the continued strength in these beef export markets, it appears that demand is quite robust and is holding up very well.
Producers, by their very nature, may be thinking, though, when will the other shoe drop on domestic demand? Or will it?
Well, I think we're still kind of coming out of some very unusual times a couple of years ago. Obviously, there's always dynamics between what the beef industry's doing and pork and poultry, and they're all kind of growing a little bit, pork and beef especially, beef kind of leading the way. So we do sort of kind of hold our breath expecting that there could be some challenges here, and yet 2017 has really proven that beef demand can go a long ways to, you know, partially or mostly offset the increased supply pressure we see in the industry. And at this point in time, there's no real reason to expect that to change going into 2018.
That's an encouraging thought to have in mind for producers. We do want to finish off, Darrell, by looking ahead to this Friday's USDA Cattle on Feed report, what it might indicate to the markets. And last month's report had its share of surprises. What's the general anticipation for this next set of numbers?
Well, I think in general we're looking for kind of a continuation of what we've seen. I think there will be significant, you know, placements. We're looking probably for some increase in placements. Again, we know there's more cattle out there, and that's not really a surprise. But, what has helped us so much for many months now and continues to is the fact that marketings have also been very strong. We continue to move these cattle through the feedlots with a faster turnover rate, and that goes a long way. So I think it's a continuation of what we've been seeing. seeing. You know, obviously there's an opportunity for surprises, but the idea that placements are going to be up is not a general surprise, and given the strength we've seen in these feeder cattle markets in the last few weeks, certainly is consistent with the idea that feedlots have continued to aggressively place cattle.
So in the meantime, as you look to the trading week ahead, it's likely steady as she goes in as far as fed cattle prices.
I really think so. I think there's some potential, again, over the next few weeks to see these fed cattle prices grind a little bit higher. I don't know that there's a lot of potential to go up a great deal, and it could happen, you know, quicker or not, but I certainly steady to perhaps slightly higher prices as we go forward here.
It's always a pleasure to get your thoughts and your perspectives on these markets, Darrell, and we hope you have a good week. Thanks for joining us right here this morning.
You're very welcome.
He is livestock economist Darrell Peel out of Oklahoma State University, and he's among our economists who talk cattle market trends here on Agriculture Today. Now this break, when we come back, we'll take a closer look at what a K-State analysis says about the attributes of that pasture, rangeland, and forage insurance program that you producers might want to consider. That's next here on the K-State Radio Network.